Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you in on Monday. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the pride of Chicago, is back from a week of partying. Danny Burke, Casino Danny. He will tell you who to bet on for the Home Run Derby. That's his way of saying, please watch it, because I won't be. Can tap the line. Chilling Bridge Cork and Tap House. Let's do that. 466-3776. 466-3776. 800-825-5865. Going to be a bit of a Hail Varsity party today. We'll run down Jacob Padilla. Get his thoughts on a couple of in-state kids that got offers from Nebraska. Talk a little football with Jacob. Aaron Sorensen, extraordinaire. She'll be with us in hour two. It's a Monday. So it's a Monday with Charlie, Mr. Blackshirt. Charlie McBride will be with us in 1 hour. 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Can tap the line. Schilling Bridge Cork and Tap House lets you do that. We'll get into Jebbia. We'll get into Adrian Martinez. We'll get into the topic of trust and the Honda fan poll is beautiful. We'll start there today. And can log on HailVarsity.com and vote. But let's chew on this. If Nebraska could only win one of these games, which one do you most want the Huskers to win? So it's basically, if they can only win one of these four, who do you want to beat the most? Iowa, Michigan, Ohio State, Wisconsin. Go vote. HailVarsity.com, the Honda fan poll. That is a tough call. Not really. Well, I mean, they're all good choices, right? Do you want to beat Iowa? Hell yes. You've lost to them for three straight years. Do you want to beat Michigan? That'd be sweet. The uproar in Ann Arbor, they might burn the joint down. All those pizza ranches up there? Call the fire department. You beat Ohio State and Urban, you are on the map as a contender immediately from now till the end of time because of what you did in Columbus. They don't lose there. They lost to Baker Mayfield and Vince Young. Otherwise, they don't lose there. Wisconsin, how good would that feel? Huh? You've been getting stomped around by Wisconsin. You're 1-5 all time against them. They murder you in your own image by snuffing you out in the fourth quarter with fat guys leaning on you for four quarters of just jackhammer pounding. God, I just made a great case. Just win all four. Danny?
I don't think that's an option.
You're going to put heat down on it.
Well, there's two ways to look at this, depending on what team you're going to pick. When the game comes up, is it Nebraska's in the midst of a good season or a bad season? You know what I mean? Like, are we?
You don't want it to be a one hit. You don't want it to be a one hit wonder like Michigan State 2 years ago,
right? So immediately, I thought Ohio State because they've whooped us the past.
Most credible,
yeah.
That's the most credibility gaining win,
right?
Nationally,
mm-hmm. And I think just getting whooped by them the past 2 years and. Now we have a new coach.
62-3, and then 56-14.
Yeah, I think so. So that kind of signifies like the old era coming into the new. We come into their house, Frost. We stomp them down. I think that would be awesome. Depending, like, regardless if we're having a good season, contending season or not, I'm on board. I want to beat the Buckeyes because screw them.
Okay.
They've owned us, man. I mean, we got to come on. I get the Iowa part rivalry, Wisconsin.
They've owned everybody. I mean, Urban Meyer has three Big Ten losses and two are to Sparty.
And he'd have to get unhealthy again if that happened, you know? Unhealthy in quotes.
Danny just did air quotes. Urban might get sick again. We got to give credit to that quote. That's Barnett.
Mm-hmm.
Barney's like, Urban might start feeling a little bad again.
Mm-hmm.
But there is there is something to be said for taking care of your own division to get that title shot.
Right.
And if you beat Wisconsin, don't you kind of apply that you'll beat Iowa? Easier said than done. Nebraska's only done it once, where they've beaten Wisconsin and Iowa in the same year. That was 2012? Yeah, it's 2012. So I'm going to pick Wisconsin because that cuts to the bone more to me. And as I look at it, to Nebraska fans, it's one thing to get beat. It's another thing to get embarrassed. And it's another thing to get out toughed. All three of those things happen when you play Wisconsin. And they've happened since you've moved into the Big Ten. And don't kid yourself, man. Old Barry loves stomping him some alma mater. He relishes in it. He knows that Iowa's big and near to his heart because he did a lot of work there. He knows that Ohio State's really big because that puts you on par as a national program. And Wisconsin's won so many games the last several years, they are about right there. Okay, they are the reincarnation of Nebraska football. And what they're doing now is having really good seasons and competing with big boys, and they're doing it because they're developing a bunch of tough kids that work their butt off and are ready to go. They go look for fit. They make you a better football player. They go get some talent. They are better at scouting and evaluating than most, and it all works out. And if somebody blows out an knee 17 times, it's okay because they got to walk in to come in and play ball. They are that good.
Let me ask you this.
It's Wisconsin.
Okay, but I think you're still applying what I'm going to ask, but what if it didn't matter if how it would affect our record, but how it would affect their record and the team's chances of going to the conference championship? Would you still pick Wisconsin
yes.
over Ohio State if your win meant it would screw them out of making it?
Dude, you owe Wisconsin a lot of punches to the jaw.
Mm-hmm.
You do? Ohio State's nice, and listen, it's all dominoes here. If you can get Wisconsin, then you'll be able to hang and play with Iowa, and vice versa. If you beat Iowa, can hang and play with Iowa, then you'll be right there with Wisconsin. Because you have more talent, you're going to recruit better talent than Iowa and Wisconsin. Do you get that talent ready is going to be the question. Do you get the talent ready on a level equal or better than what Wisconsin and Iowa do? That's how Iowa and Wisconsin, I mean, Wisconsin's like, made the jump to light speed here. They're not jacking around with 9-4. All right, you played within a field goal of an SEC team. They want more. They are better. They are 13-1. Schedule was weak last year, but they've got to win over LSU. They've got Notre Dame on the horizon. They're good. They are good, and they are top 10. They won at Miami last year. That thing was just on. They were down 14-0 in that game. In the Hard Rock, and it was going poorly, and then they erupted. They got a turnover, flipped it, a lot of perseverance, and they have been right there against Ohio State. I mean, Michigan State's actually won, all right? But Wisconsin's been right there against Ohio State. They've been right there at Michigan. They have played well enough to win against the big dogs. They're getting credit for that. If you can beat Wisconsin, you get take a major step of pride in redeeming your program. Because the way they go about murdering people is how Nebraska used to do it. And the thing that's missing from Wisconsin compared to 20 to 25 years ago with Nebraska took that next step and won a national championship. I don't know that Wisconsin can do that. I think Wisconsin, worst case scenario, their year's 11-2 this year. Because of their crossovers. Maybe they win out. Maybe they lose to Iowa. Maybe they lose to Penn State. I don't know. I think they're good. Okay? But they don't have, like, difference maker quarterback. You beat Wisconsin on the road, man. And just think of it. You were there up 17-3 before Melvin went gangster for 408 in the snow back in 14. 15, Fatty drills a field goal. I mean, he gets a mulligan and drills one.
That dude's living the dream. Think he just can be overweight
Gaglione?
And still just kicking.
I like him, though.
Yeah,
I mean,
no,
he's a good dude. He's a good dude. And then last year, I mean, it just they just Nebraska'd you. Dude threw a pick. He got scalded. Like he got home late for curfew. Like Paul Chris is staring at him. A disappointed father look. They ran it 20 straight times, and they won by 21 after a tie game. You want an answer drive? 8 plays, 80 yards running. They just ran it. Ran it some more. So I'm going with Wisconsin. You can't talk me out of it.
Okay.
Can't do it.
I get it.
But you, who are you taking?
Yeah, I said Ohio State. But
you still? I mean, I did not convince you.
No, you definitely made good points. It really just comes down to what our season's looking like. If we have no chance of being at the top of
Wisconsin,
our conference.
Wisconsin, you take a big old chunk out of them in the West.
Yeah, but then you're just most likely, you assume you're setting up Iowa or Northwestern. Probably not Purdue, so... I just don't know. If we're having a very average season, I'd rather take down Ohio State, the Kings of the Big Ten.
If you're having a very average season, that means they won't cover it by halftime, all right?
But it could be that fluke game.
You'll score more than 3 points. But I love this discussion. Honda fan poll, HailVarsity.com. If Nebraska could win only one of these games, which one do you want the Huskers to win most? Iowa, Michigan, Ohio State, Wisconsin. And let's throw a little bit of it getting personal in on this. I heard from a lot of you when you went to Camp Randall when Russell Wilson was quarterbacking. All right, the first Big Ten game ever. Both teams roll in, number 7, number 8. It's a ball game till the first half or through the first half. You Nebraska fans, God love you, you were treated like you're going to Boulder. You were absolutely treated horribly by Wisconsin fans. There's some of that. It got more than personal. It got dirty and it got venomous and it got poisonous in Camp Randall. Like to the point where T.O. is PO'd and like said, Barry, what the hell? What's up with your crowd? You can drink scotch for 6 hours before the ball game and still be fine. Your student section can't. Let's go to the phones. Chris is with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. Chris, what's up? How are you?
Schmitty, hey. So I guess I'm not following you 100%, I guess. So if you're saying we beat Wisconsin, then we beat Iowa? But I thought the whole question was...
No, I'm saying that's my application, okay? If you can beat Wisconsin, you can beat Iowa. All right.
Well, I know. I understand that. But
that's all I'm saying. You only get to pick one. I'm picking Wisconsin as my one.
All right. So my logic is going to go slightly different than what you
guys
did.
See, and that's what I was doing. I was just saying, look, you beat Wisconsin, you're good. You beat Wisconsin, you can take out about anybody on there. But if I had to pick one, it's Wisconsin. It's Wisconsin's the team. You go ahead. Sorry, I interrupted.
No. If I had to pick one, it's Iowa. Because it hurts more to lose to those people than the other people. I can sit and stomach, and I can have enough Coors Lights to make the Wisconsin sting go away. I can't drink the sting away of losing to Hawkeyes.
No, that's totally fair.
See, yeah, you got to bring in that personal factor of it too.
To me, it's not a fair question in the sense that those you look at Wisconsin, Ohio State, and Michigan. They're, to me, upper-tier teams. Sure. Iowa's that next tier down, so I can't classify. I shouldn't have to classify them together.
No, I hear you. I hear you, but it's four teams, three of the four anyway, that have taken their pound of flesh.
Honestly, that's what I'm saying here.
All right. Appreciate it, Chris. Thanks, man. Appreciate you. All right. So he's like, okay, and his point's valid. You can drink enough Coors Light to make the pain go away.
Yeah, it's pretty much more of an insulting loss to Iowa compared to all the other teams. So that's kind of,
you know why it's insulting? Because on in a normal year they're 8-5,
right?
But I'll counter with this. All right, whatever you think of Iowa, and I agree with you that it's hard to lose to them. They are a deflected fingernail to football on the goal line away from being 3-0 against Penn State, and they crushed Ohio State last year. They destroyed Ohio State last year. And they beat Michigan and Harbaugh. And they ruined their freaking season. They were number three in the country. You go to Kinnick at night, bad things happen. Just happens like that. Whether it's a walk of shame after the game.
I was going to say on or off the field, bad things happen at night in Iowa City. Can attest to that personally.
I mean, look, give me a look at Danny. Danny's eyes get real narrow and he starts shaking his head like he knows somebody who woke up, couldn't get his arm freed, and he had to.
I have woken up to some pretty brutal stuff there. I'll give
really?
You just a short story of it. It was our freshman year of school, like here in Nebraska. Me and some buddies went up for Halloween because a bunch of our friends were there. We stayed at my friend's brother's place, and we woke up, and he comes in the room I'm in and says, "What?" Like, I'll do the clean version. He's like, "What is this crap?" And I'm like, "What?" Like, just waking up at 6 in the morning because they're getting ready to tailgate. He's like, "What is this crap?" I was like, "What are you talking about?" And I look up and there's actual crap, feces.
What?
In the room I was in. Someone, we don't know who, after all these years, someone came in while I was passed out. Me and my other buddy were passed out and there was poop in the
room. So Iowa fan in multiple
areas.
Iowa fan dropped the nuke around you guys.
Yeah, it's like the most unsolved story and everyone who's there, we like the funniest.
That's
morning.
Horrible.
Yeah, it's terrifying though too. But
I feel bad
unreal.
For you, Danny. All right, we'll talk to Jacob Bedilla. Husker Hoops thoughts on the way.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back to it, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Danny Burke, and his horrifying Iowa City story. That was bad. I got nothing to respond to that with, except that somebody needs to get hurt. Like, I stayed at my cousin's house in Lawrence. His fraternity house. This is when I was in 8th or 9th grade. It was an incredible weekend, and I loved every second of it.
You're in middle school going to a fraternity house?
Yes, it was wonderful. It was awesome. And somebody, like, poured beer in our shoes because Nebraska was playing KU, and all of poor little Jayhawk land was getting taken over. It's, you know, Lincoln South. That's the worst thing that happened to me. Nobody dropped a growler or four of them in each corner. Marking their territory. Jacob Padilla is with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine. Jacob, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well, Schmitty.
I don't know how to transition. Sorry, I just...
It's quite the introduction.
No, I just... Danny, like, shot clock's going off. Danny's like, yeah, I hate Iowa. So that's the team I'm circling. He's going with Ohio State. But this goes to the Hail Varsity poll question because I'm fired up about it. I love it. If you could pick one, who is it? And one team to beat next year, Iowa, Michigan, Ohio State, Wisconsin. The votes say this, 26% want Iowa, 20% want Coach Khakis in Michigan, 14% say Ohio State, 40 say Wisconsin. So I'm going to bug you, Jacob. Who did you vote for?
I actually have not voted yet. I just went over that page as well. Kind of taking a look at those results, and that's a tough one.
Yeah, there's no wrong answer.
No, there isn't. I mean, honestly, maybe for just feel good, like Iowa, maybe just in terms of like feel good for fans or whatever you would think, like, hey, fine, we got to beat these guys. Wisconsin would be best in terms of kind of your division hopes. And then you got Ohio State there as, like, probably the biggest name that you could use to kind of make some noise nationally and get kind of some of that respect for Nebraska. So I really don't think there's a wrong one there. It just kind of comes depends on the perspective you're looking at it from.
Well, and to give you an argument for Michigan, too, I mean, say you start 3-0, you springboard like a madman into Purdue at 4-0, possibly ranked, and then you got Wisconsin. You got that confidence under your belt already winning in the big house. You don't step up or screw it up against Purdue the following week. I mean, it could be a dream first season, getting way ahead of ourselves, but log on, HailVarsity.com, and you pick one team. Who do you want to beat the most? Iowa, Michigan, Ohio State, Wisconsin. And if you're good enough to beat Wisconsin, then you're good enough to beat everybody on that schedule.
That's a good point.
So that's kind of my reasoning as well. That's not what the question asks, but that's how I went about it with my logic. But I don't know, man. So I want to get your thoughts here on hoops before we get into some football. And I've had a chance to see Donovan Williams and North Star play, and he is incredible. I think, God, what was the game they were playing? They're playing East, and you know how good East was last year. And for a half, Donovan kept North Star, and I think they were even ahead at half. I go back and look at my scorebook, but Donovan Williams is just such a talent, really, really graceful. Gets to the rim, pretty good step back range, can always get better. But as a junior, gets an offer from Coach Miles. And then Akul Arop, Creighton Prep, saw him just really do work in the state tournament, obviously, that legendary game with Prep v. Pius. And I thought he was incredible. Both these kids get offers. Both these kids have older brothers who turned down Nebraska, one in basketball, one in football. And you're locked in and plugged into the high school basketball scene better than anyone. What's your reaction to these two offers? And talk to me about the likelihood that Nebraska can stay the front runner in this recruitment.
Yeah, I think it's definitely an interesting development with them offering when they did. It sounds like Akul just absolutely tore it up out there in New York this week during the Adidas Gauntlet finale. Helped lead OSA to the Elite Eight of the event. Beat some really good teams to get there, and he was the best player on the floor for long stretches of those games. It sounded like he averaged about 20 a game or so, and somewhere in that range for the tournament. And just he's such a freak athlete. I'm actually going to talk to him after I get off the phone with you here. A little bit more insight on that on Hail Varsity coming up later if you want to check out the website. But yeah, it's kind of interesting that Nebraska came out. I guess they're doing a little differently than they did with Agwuk, where back then they kind of offered him so early on based on that potential. And then when it came time to, they were like, well, maybe you could use another year. And then they kind of had the falling out there. But now here they're kind of showing their interest in Akul as a senior. They know what he is. Not too much projection outside of what they believe that they can get out of him if he chooses Nebraska. And he's a 6'5", freak athlete, long arms. His jump shot is really starting to come along. It sounds like he shot really well out in New York. I've seen him play a bit this summer. The shot's not there yet in terms of consistency, but just the fact that he's stepping out and knocking him down with confidence now, I think is a big step for him as well. So he's the kind of guy that you kind of get into your program, you develop into what you need him to be, kind of let him be a defensive energy guy early on as a skill set develops, and you can find a role for him. So that's going to be one that's interesting to keep an eye on over these next few weeks as well in terms of who else shows interest. He's got two more weekends left on the AAU circuit with OSA, and So he's going to be playing in front of some other coaches. So if he can kind of keep this up, he might have a bit more to consider in terms of making a decision. But right now, Nebraska is his only high major offer. So I think they're pretty much in the lead by default right now. You got a lot of mid-major offers this past few weeks, and he's had UNO and Drake for a while. So that's kind of what the picture looks like for him. As far as Donovan, he's playing with the Iowa Barnstormers this summer, and he was also out in New York. So it was a pretty productive trip for Tim Miles out there. Getting a chance to see both Akul and Donovan play out there. Donovan, like you mentioned, he's so talented. Just physically, in that 2020 class, he's probably the most gifted kid there. So it's, once again, it's kind of like, hey, they see the tools, and like we get him into our program, we could kind of use that and develop him into a really good player. And obviously he's got the great bloodlines with his brothers, a monster up there, going to play for Wisconsin. So he's got that high level athleticism in his blood. So he's another guy that I think is, he's got a ways to go in terms of being there, but you could easily project him to be that kind of player if you trust your development and what you can get out of him. So those are both really interesting offers, and they kind of follow along with some of the trends that we're seeing in some of these other 2019 offers that I've kind of been tracking on our Hail Varsity recruiting thread, just in terms of guys that are just freak athletes, high-level leapers, guys that can really go out and run and jump, and you kind of get that kind of athleticism in your program, and then you can develop it to whatever you want.
Jacob Padilla is with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine at Jacob Padilla _ on Twitter. We're talking about Donovan Williams and Akola Rope, both getting offers from Coach Miles to Nebraska, two in-state kids, two in-state talents. Donovan needs to work on what? Defense is something I think of now that he's bad defensively. You just got to do it consistently. A Rope, do you buy his three-point consistency? I know in the AAU tournament out in New York, he was 6 out of 10. But what's a good number for him to be dangerous and respected from beyond the arc? Is he a true stretch, or is he working to be that threat from the outside?
Yeah, as far as Donovan, I'll start with him. Yeah, the consistency of effort overall, particularly on defense, but on offense too, and loose balls and those kind of things. It's something that I kind of noticed watching him play with North Star and Mocan Elite last year. And I have not got a chance to see him play with the Barnstormers this summer, so I haven't seen quite how that has come along with his AAU club. I only saw him play a little bit in June with North Star, and kind of in those settings, the guys aren't necessarily going all out, and you never know who's there for teams or whatever, so it's not the best place to evaluate, but hopefully I'll get to see him in these next 2 weeks. I think I might be able to see him in 2 weeks, but yeah, with him, again, just consistent effort, going full out on defense, playing hard on offense, not settling. He tends to take a lot of jump shots, and he doesn't hit them at high enough rate for the rate at which he takes them. So I think continuing to put in the effort and use his physical tools to be efficient versus just kind of taking shots because they're easier, I think that's kind of where he needs to improve the most. As for Cole, yeah, he had a great weekend shooting-wise. I don't think he's definitely not going to shoot 6 out of 10 every weekend. I don't see the jumper being a strength of his, but if he can get it to the point where he's in the mid-30s, about 34-35%, even there, that's enough where you have to respect him, and that'll open up kind of the rest of the floor. You'll have to respect him. That'll mean you can't play off him, so he can play with other guys in space of four a little bit. And then they have to step out and respect the shot so he can get a pump fake in there, blow by guys, go in and finish, use that athleticism. So if he can get the shot into that mid-30s range where you're above kind of the break-even point, just even getting the average there, and then continue to work on the ball handling, that'll really, I think, unlock his athleticism and his overall game at the next level.
Jacob Padilla talking Husker Hoops. Couple of offers, two in-state talents, Donovan Williams, Akola Rope, right now offered by Tim Miles over the weekend. Jacob will get caught up here with Akola Rope as soon as he gets done talking to me, which is, like, I've kept you too long already. But Jacob will have that on HailVarsity.com. Jacob, it was great to catch up with you, man. We'll do this again soon. Always love your insight on basketball, man. Keep it up. Appreciate the time.
No, thanks for having me.
Take care, bud. There he is, Jacob Padilla, HailVarsity.com and magazine. Jacob, Mr. Basketball Man, all over it. Does a great job with volleyball. Incredible with football coverage as well. Can follow him on Twitter at Jacob Padilla _. And read him, HailVarsity.com. Hopefully you got to Sauter Heyman this weekend. Time to go see Rick if you didn't. Pure-grown diamonds. Diamonds grown in the lab instead of mined from the earth. What's that mean? They're eco-friendly. They're sustainable. They're 10 to 40% less than earth-mined diamonds, and they're exclusively in Nebraska. It's Sauter Heyman. 12th and O downtown, South Point Pavilion around Weston, Grand Island. Go see Rick and your friends at Sauter Heyman today, Nebraska's exclusive dealer of pure-grown diamonds.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Good stuff from Jacob Padilla. Can find it on ESPN Lincoln. Also, Hail Varsity, part of the podcast. And Charlie McBride is coming up in 25 minutes. Chris Schmidt, Danny Burke, great to be with you on Monday with Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Can tap the line. Shillingbridge Cork and Tap House lets you do that. 466-377-6800-825-5865. Find and follow us on Twitter at Schmidt underscore radio, at Danny Burke 5, at Hail Varsity, at ESPN Lincoln on Twitter. The poll question by Honda of Lincoln on Hail Varsity. You can only pick one. Who do you want the Huskers to beat most? Iowa, Michigan, Ohio State, Wisconsin. It's multiple choice with one right answer. Whatever you think. Because there's no wrong answer. Iowa has crept up a bit, though, in the race here. Wisconsin leads the way at 40%. Okay, Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, is in on Amir Abdullah. So you've got a new coach in Detroit, and you have a contract that is in its last year with Detroit. So Amir jacked his foot. I think it was the Liz Frank. That sound right when we talked to him? Yeah, I mean, it was his foot, man. It was his foot, and it was his shoulder in year two. And the guy hasn't had an offseason to just train. He's been using offseasons to rehab. That's first and foremost what I got out of him when we talked to him in May. And he's the last guy in the world to make excuses. He's frustrated. He's angry. And he's probably pretty awesome. If you look at Amir and his history, when he's counted out, well, Amir, we like you. This is Auburn calling you. We want you to play defensive back. Okay? Hi, Amir. This is Alabama. Yeah, you can come play for us, but you're not going to be a running back. And then Nebraska, like 12th hour, Coach Beck got him. And one of the best running backs in Nebraska history. Tough dude. Lot of heart. The forgotten guy of his recruiting class. A three-star kid out of Bama, right? Well, you've got the story that happened. And Bruce Arians is the head coach in Arizona, and he loved Amir. Well, Detroit drafted Amir in the second round right before Arizona could pick him. So Arizona did what? They settled for David Johnson, Northern Iowa. David Johnson, I know, had a brutal forearm injury last year, but he's been freaking money. He's been great. Amir has not been great in the pros, and he'd tell you that, but he's been hurt. So what happens here? Well, as Mike Florio discusses, you have Detroit that is wondering about Amir. They've got LeGarrette Blount brought over from New England. They drafted Kerryon Johnson, second round, out of Auburn. Theoretics, the third down back. And Amir can catch the ball. He can run the ball. I think Amir averaged 5 yards carry last year. Limited carries, mind you. But are they going to keep four running backs? Probably. Can he win the fourth roster spot? He can. Will he? You got a new head coach. Patricia's there. It's all upside down. And will Amir last and make the cut from 90 to 53? And if Amir doesn't make Detroit, I mean, Amir gets to go to a good football team. He can go find himself wherever. The guy has great skill and ability. I don't know that you've seen a truly healthy Amir, because he had labrum issues. He had a shoulder issue his whole rookie year. He played with. Then he had the foot injury. And that takes a long time to come back from, especially on that arch, right? Or that top part of your foot. And that's the same thing Durant had, where they got to put a screw in with horrible blood flow. So it takes extra time to heal. And guess what? You can tweak it and re-injure it. Amir's contract's $876,000 this year. So it'll be interesting to see if Detroit goes with Amir Abdullah. And the thing that's been said about Amir by David Walker, the running backs coach. It's a lot different for guys to tackle a Garrett than it is Amir in the hole. So that's not something you hear guys say a lot in the NFL. And I don't think it's a call out. I think it's a fact of life. LeGarrette Blount's 6'3", 250 pounds, and psycho. Amir's not. Amir's 5'8", 200 pounds. He's brick. But Amir's game is always, and he's been a tough runner. Even at Nebraska covering him, he would get super pissed about asking him if he can run between the tackles. He can. Amir's problem's always been fumbling the football. It's not been toughness or heart or desire or running between the tackles or catching the football. Been holding on to the football. That's it. That's the honest to God truth. And I don't know, and I know he fumbled a few times with Detroit last year. That's the other part. That's why he'll get cut, if he gets cut. It's because he'll have turnover problems. You've got a role for Amir Abdullah, and right now for him to stay with Detroit is going to be the return game and special teams. I mean, that will keep him on Detroit. Personally, dude, I'll pack my bags and get the hell out of there. Now, he's close with the community. All the work he's done for the city of Flint, all the awareness he's raised for just the drinking conditions, the water. Amir's a good dude, and we're partial to him, obviously, on the show. So we'll see where he ends up. But if he's catching swing passes from Jimmy G, I wouldn't cry. If he's running the football at a high level as a change of pace guy in Denver, that'd be pretty cool. Does he not say, scream, and I don't know where they'd put him because they're loaded in Kansas City, but he seems to me like a guy that would just thrive in an Andy Reid offense. That's where I'm at. I don't know that he makes Detroit. I don't know that that's a bad thing if Detroit says goodbye. Buffalo, good work. Oakland, I think Gruden could use him. Seattle needs running backs. I think him and Russell Wilson in the zone read game would be pretty sweet. And then him and Deshaun Watson down in Houston would be all right. Just stay away from Detroit. How about him and Aaron Rodgers? Huh? That'd be okay?
I don't know if I see that as much.
Well, they don't run the football. Green Bay doesn't. Yeah.
They make running backs. They find them in their own offense. They don't bring them in.
It's like, are you a Packers fan? You're a Bears fan.
Yeah, I hate the Packers. I respect Rodgers, though.
No, I know you do. You want Rodgers. we'll wind down hour one. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
One final time this hour, can check us out on email, chris@hailvarsity.com, on Twitter @DannyBurke5, at @Schmidt_radio, on Twitter @HailVarsity, and we'll get into the poll. We're going to ask Coach McBride the poll question. If Nebraska can win only one of these games this season, which one do you want the Huskers to win most? Iowa, Michigan, Ohio State, Wisconsin. I say Wisconsin. Danny says Ohio State. Coach McBride says, I don't know. What did Jacob say?
He hadn't voted yet. Yeah, because he gave reasoning for three. He said, mm-hmm. I understand Ohio State national-wise, mm-hmm. Iowa rivalry-wise, mm-hmm. and Wisconsin if you're competing for a conference championship. Right. So
Chris called in and says there's not enough Coors Light in the world to take the sting away of losing to Iowa. Mm-hmm. And he made a good point. Michigan, Ohio State, Wisconsin are elite teams. So, yeah, we'll get Coach McBride's take. Erin Sorensen going to be with us. She was at the Husker Road Race yesterday. Good story from her on Mick Stoltenberg, Stanley Morgan, Mick, and who else am I missing? Gerald Foster, going to be your three Huskers at Big Ten Media Days. We will be at Big Ten Media Days 1 week from today in Chicago, both Monday and Tuesday, broadcasting live We will do our damnedest to get you as much Husker coverage and other coach slash player interviews from around the Big Ten. I'm going to roll my sleeves up and get after it. Danny, I need a suggestion, my friend. Where do I need to hit Chicago?
I was going to say, man, you can finally get a real
I want to take I want to take you with me, but I need you back here, you know, making sure we're on air.
Yeah, I know it's a shame, but I'll definitely let you know where to go. It depends what you're in the mood for. So many good restaurants. If you're looking deep dish, I'm a Lou Malnati's guy. I always hit Portillo's because that's just what I grew up on. Great hot dog, great beef. There's really good hot dog places all around too, but it really depends where exactly you're staying. Mm-hmm. But yeah, bars wise, I guess I'll have to know where you're by too. So, but I'll get you the hookup once you let me know exactly where you're at.
That sounds good. 466-377-6466-377-6600 825-5865. Also, another programming note: we are going to be at the Pinnacle Bank Championships Thursday, Friday, Saturday of this week. Jay Moore, myself, on the road Thursday from the web.com tour site at Indian Creek, the club in Omaha. That's where the Pinnacle Bank Championship is at. Going to be incredible golf, wonderful facility. We'll be talking football and golf. Golf and football, Jay, myself, and Kranak Friday, and then Kranak and myself Saturday morning, bright and early, 7 to 9, right before that first tee shot for the weekend. So that'll be good. So busy next few days, and we take us with, can log on, halevarsity.com, also the ESPN Lincoln app, and the on-demand section is there for you, as always, on ESPNLincoln.com. And don't forget, Alexa, just ask Alexa to play Hail Varsity. Pull that up, take us with, have us rolling out on the back patio with your Alexa system. Well, maybe you're firing up a cigar and pouring a bourbon. We are out of time for this first hour. Great to be with you. Chris Schmidt, Danny Burke, Coach McBride, Mondays with Charlie. Charlie McBride on the way with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you back. Hour two. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Friday of Chicago, Danny Burke. It is that time, Mondays with Charlie, Mr. Blackshirt. Charlie McBride joins us. Coach, how are we doing today?
Well, I'm doing good. I just went and got some corn.
Okay.
Pretty good.
So is there a stand out there?
I was going to shuck the corn, see, you know? So I sat down, and just rained here, so I sat down in a good, wet, nice, wet seat, you know, so my pants are soaked. Then my son gets me a glass of water and gets a top on it. He just doesn't know how to screw it down. So I went to drink, and it's all down the front of me. So I got a front job and a back job, I guess.
What do you mean?
And I'm sitting. I tell you, it's not fun sitting in a pair of pants that are soaked.
So here's my question: do you want us to call you back in 5 minutes so you can get some dry pants?
No, I'm good. I just wear them till they wear out.
All right. Coach McBride's having a worse Monday than you on Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, so does the corn look awesome, though? Did you get it like a roadside stand?
Oh, man, the corn's good. And then the other thing is Michigan cherries are the best.
Okay.
I got some of those.
So do you grill the corn or do you boil it? How do you do it?
Both.
All right.
One of my sons is a cook, so he does everything. We don't have to worry about. We do all grill work. He does it all on the grill.
Good. That sounds awesome. That sounds like a lot of fun. Okay, I've got a poll question here. on the website, and I want your thoughts, okay? So Nebraska, if Nebraska can win only one of the following games, which one do you want the Huskers to win most? So you can pick one and only one. Iowa?
Okay. Michigan.
Iowa, Michigan, Ohio State, Wisconsin. Why do you want Nebraska to beat Michigan?
I got to live here.
But
otherwise, I walk around with a bag over my head.
All right. Okay, so it's because of location.
But I tell you what, the Iowa game is always, I think that's, to me, that should have been in our repertoire from day one. I just, you know, I always thought that. And Wyoming, mm-hmm. you know, should be teams around you who are your neighbors and stuff like that. I think you ought to be playing. I mean, it mm-hmm. saves money, but they're all rival games, really.
Mm. Well, yeah, you just look at Iowa.
I'm saying Michigan, though, just because I live here, probably. You know, and it'd be nice if I could walk around and. Because the Michigan people here are the kind of that walk around with their nose up. So I think I'd like to walk around with my nose up once.
That'd be good. I like your reasoning. I would have put money down that you would have said Wisconsin because you used to coach there.
Well, Brenna, we're going to beat them anyway.
Okay. So what you're telling me, what about Ohio State? Let's just stay on this roll.
Well, Ohio State's going to think that, I'll tell you what, they're going to be nervous.
Okay.
And I think that the kind of staff that they have, they're going to see some things they didn't see before.
Mm.
So that's just me kind of thinking. But I think by then we're going to find out really what it comes down to is defensively, how good we can be. And that's more of a project, I think, than the offense. And people, you know, I think in the back end, especially when you have new backers or you have some new guys in there that, you know, that might be better but won't have a chance till later in the year or stuff like that, you know, it's hard to get. But by the time they play Ohio State, knows they ought to be kind of zoomed in on, you know, who the people are.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that'll help a lot, too. I mean, when you play teams early in the season, you're a new team, they're going to be scrambling to find out, you know, what you do on offense. They'll get all the games they've had. I'm sure they'll get film from, you know, UCF. And, you know, but there's always a lot of changes because of personnel. You know, the changes don't come a lot of times because coaches just decide, well, hey, we're going to run this play. Yeah, we're going to run the play because we have the people to run the play. Mm-hmm. You know, and it may be better than we had at UCF, you know, stuff like that. That's what usually comes up. And defensively, you know, it's just a matter of guys just letting their go every play. You know, I'll tell you what I really believe. If I see our kids go out and play like heck and maybe lose, I'm just as proud of them that the way they played. You know, they got beat by a better team. You know, sometimes you have to look at it that way and not criticize everything that happened or every ball that was dropped or interception that was dropped. Our secondary, you know, I hear people saying, we got to get guys with better hands. Yeah, okay. You know, I mean, it's just sometimes you wonder what really you're doing. You're beating your head against the wall to try to win, and then somebody comes up with one of those statements, and it gets put in the paper like it's a war or something.
Right.
So
Charlie McBride's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, Mondays with Charlie. Coach has got a wet T-shirt and wet pants because of the rain and a koozie mishap. And he's chucking some corn right now, shucking some corn. He might chuck the corn at me, but he's shucking corn right now. You mentioned effort and intensity on defense. There's a couple of stories out when it comes to camaraderie and chemistry. Coach, that seems like it's grown quite a bit Are you hearing the same thing, that the guys are truly understanding what it means to play for the guy next to you?
Well, I think when he came in, it made, you know, I wasn't there, but I know he made that the statements that he did made, hearing them from the players, was a motivational thing plus a team thing. And it maybe, I don't know what happened before, mm-hmm. you know, but it seemed like he connected, really connected well, as did the whole staff. They're all on the same page, it sounds like to me. And I think that's really important, I think. And the other thing is, I think all the guys that they have that are coaching are really, you know, really know the game. They're smart people, and so, you know, it's going to be a new experience. But, you know, it's just a matter of it comes down to the players, and I've said this a million times. I've said it to them. Fellas, I can tell you where to go. I can try to get you pumped up, but I can't play. And, you know, you have to decide what kind of team you had. Well, when we got that, you know, one year we have unfinished business, and then we had business as usual, and we had kind of some things that they put together. It come from the coaches. You know, all of that stuff comes from the players. So, you know, if they came up and said something like this is our beginning, or whatever they want to say, just kind of something that, you know, would be a little different, you know, and some teams do that, some don't. Doesn't make any difference. But I think a lot of times you see camaraderie around some kind of a theme, and I'm sure they probably have one, and it may be not out in the open. Mm-hmm. And but I mean, each position has to have a good leader, and they have to have, you know, and they all have to work together to fit. And, you know, I've always said on defense, it's simple, if it's moving, kill it, you know.
That's good. That sounds like you, too. Do you have a T-shirt that says that? That'd be wonderful.
Yeah, I probably ought to have a tattoo on my forehead, right?
It says, nowadays, if it's moving, kill it. That's pretty good. Yeah. Coach, what do they get your thoughts here on the morning practice? That's been approved. Everybody will be done by 11 or noon. And I know you guys did afternoon practices, but Coach Frost has done a lot of good things with his morning routine and morning practices at Central Florida and also out at Oregon.
Right. I think that's a good idea. We had, I remember when we were going through the first part of summer school. Mm-hmm. You know, the guys had start class about 9 o'clock, I think it was, in summer school. So we had practice at 7, and the first time we started doing that, everyone, you know, you heard them whispering around, and you know, then all of a sudden, we have, okay, we're going back to 9 o'clock. They don't want to do that. No, we like it at 7. And the difference was they get more rest between practices. But in this case, they get more zeroed in on their academics, I think. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of teams that have gone to that. If you look at the NFL, those guys have done it, you know, in the morning, and then they have meetings in the afternoon. But, you know, they get their stuff done in the morning. And so I believe that when we started doing well in bowl games, we were practicing earlier. You know, and that kind of thing, instead of waiting till 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and then they get in and they have to go somewhere or do something. It just, everything's crammed into the middle. They got the whole day open to, some guys want to go lift weights on their own or do whatever. And I think it's a good move, especially in college. If they can get it coordinated with the schedules. That's the hardest thing, you know. Sometimes there's one that you just can't do. It's only at a certain time. So then you maybe have to say, well, I got taken summer school. But those are some of the drawbacks of it. You know, a lot of guys like to go in the morning, get it over with. But I think the way they're doing it now is going to be good, because the players are going to get a little more time probably between, and have a little more free time too. And I think that's important.
It'll be good, and they'll be rested up. It sounds like the practices are going to go back to how you guys practiced, where the Monday through Thursday is going to be really, really, really tough and grueling, so that the games on Saturday are the easiest part of the week.
Right, right. You know, it's I think there's probably, when you, if you go down the list, you're probably going to find a lot more schools doing that exact thing. I think, you know, academics is, you know, you're there for that. Football's just, you know, you're, if you're lucky enough, you have a scholarship and, you know, and you're getting your education paid for. But, you know, a lot of times people just don't look at it that way. And I think what you're saying is we're going to work harder in our academics and get more time to put in on it. And if you need some tutoring or some help some way, get it, and you'll have better time to do it. And so I just personally, if I was going back and coaching, I'd kind of lean that way myself, because I've seen enough of it going on around the country where so many, and I saw our guys, man, they didn't want to practice at 9 o'clock anymore. They even though summer school was over and we were practicing, you know, during preseason, they would go at 7.
Sure.
So, you know, it worked out. They didn't think they liked it. All of a sudden, they really like it. And so I think it's going to be the same thing.
Coach, we'll get you out of here on this. And thanks for giving us a few minutes. And tell me how that corn is next time. Who do you think's the best conference in college football right now? If you had to pick the best conference, who is it?
Big Ten.
Okay. And that's,
I really do believe that.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, even though, you know, you saw some things in bowl games, da-da-da-da-da, but, you know, overall, I think, and the reason I say that, because I'm looking at Purdue, I'm looking at Indiana, I'm looking at some of these schools that were getting the snot knocked out of them, are starting to really, you know, mobilize. And, you know, being around Indiana area, I know the enthusiasm is up very high here. Because I'm in between Indiana, Michigan, Michigan State, and that kind of stuff. So you kind of get a deal. I used to go around the lake at night in our pontoon boat, and I'd see a Indiana flag. Now I'm seeing Colorado flags, I'm seeing Nebraska flags, I'm seeing every Purdue flags, Indiana flags. And so the enthusiasm of college football, that just tells you that it's getting to be really, really good, because I think a lot of people are vacating the NFL and going to the college stuff.
Sure. I bet. Coach, enjoy dinner tonight. Thanks for letting us interrupt you, bud.
Okay.
I always love talking with you.
Okay. I'll see you when I'm older.
All right, Coach. You take care.
Okay.
Have a good one. There he is, Coach Charlie McBride. So he's not happy with getting spilled on and getting rained on. And he's shucking corn. But grilled corn at Coach McBride's cabin would be incredible. I want to tell you about your friends at Madonna Proactive. They have such a setup for you when it comes to cardio equipment, when it comes to pools, and when it comes to just sitting outside in the sun, an outdoor pool, an indoor pool. And, of course, an AquaTrack indoors. That current really gives you a workout. Plus, they have those hammer throw machines when it comes to lifting a track upstairs for you to get your cardio work on. And then over 130 classes offered. Madonna Proactive. Join today, madonnaproactive.org, 402-420-0000, 56th and Pine Lake.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Good stuff from Coach McBride. You can log on hailvarsity.com or iTunes for the podcast. Some of the greatest hits from today will be up on ESPN Lincoln, on the Hail Varsity Twitter, on the ESPN Lincoln Twitter. Welcome in Aaron Sorensen, hailvarsity.com and magazine, social media extraordinaire. Aaron, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing all right, man. I'm getting fired up for Chicago. How about you?
I am. I'm ready. Now that we know who's going to be joining us in Chicago, I'm looking forward to it even more.
Yeah, Mick, Stanley, and Mr. Foster. That'll be a good trio there.
Yeah, and, you know, I knew I had a pretty good gut feeling it was going to be Mick and Stanley, that third player. I was sort of going between, would they bring Aaron Williams back? Could it be someone like Luke Gifford? I was kind of thinking of a few different options, mm-hmm. and Gerald was one of those people on that list, and I'm excited for that. It seems like it's going to be a lot of fun because obviously you have the big personality in Stanley. You have sort of the stoic leader in Mick Stoltenberg, and then as we know, Gerald can be kind of a goofball himself. So I feel like you get a little bit of a different personality with each player. So that'll be fun for both fans and for media to hear what they have to say.
Aaron Sorensen's with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine at Aaron Sorensen. Aaron, you had a really awesome story, a couple of them, with Jebbia and then with Mick. I want to go and talk about Mick here for a second. And you hear a lot of storylines in the off season, how this, and this is going to be better. I mean, it's been familiar, right, the last few years, mm-hmm. where you're trying to turn the corner. Do you feel like the development of trust, and that's part of your title to your story, you can read Aaron on HailVarsity.com. Are you buying what you're hearing? Is it really different this time when you talk to players?
Yeah, and, you know, the cool thing I like about, so for anybody who goes and reads that story that I had an opportunity to speak with Mick, the thing I've always appreciated when I've had the opportunity to talk to Mick is he isn't BSing is the way that I would put it, because he's always been like that. So even when we were talking yesterday and he was talking about the camaraderie and just how that's really been something they've focused on this offseason, we acknowledge the fact that it's not like there wasn't camaraderie before, but there was just still pieces missing for them. And so while it's like he doesn't want to go as far to be like it's completely different, he's the first to say there are differences here. And, I mean, even just with the way that they've approached strength and conditioning with him, what I think is just so unique is, what's not unique, because, you know, they're approaching it correctly, I should say, is before he would always come into a season thinking, I've got to gain all this weight because you're going to lose it throughout the season. Whereas now, the way that Duvall, the strength and conditioning staff, and then the nutrition team has approached it is they want him to come into the season with a really healthy, livable weight that he can maintain from start to finish. And so that's one big difference. And then just in general, the way the seniors are sort of approaching the season is like, yeah, we could look at, for some of these guys, this is our third, you know, coaching staff. We've had defensive scheme changes. We could come into this and be upset and angry, but instead they've really approached coming into the locker room, into strength and conditioning, getting ready for practice by, you know, really coming together as a team. And we saw it at the road race yesterday. So those are those differences where it's always hard, because I think sometimes, you know, I always have to be careful with that as well, being a reporter, is I don't want people to think that, like, they didn't have camaraderie before, but they're definitely trying to elevate it this season, and that's really because you're seeing guys like Mick, who were leaders before, step up to be even more of a leader on and off the field.
Who's gotten to him and helped him with that leadership? Because I think that's the biggest thing I notice, is that guys aren't leaving it up to themselves to do. There is direction and leadership from adults, for lack of a better term. The coaches mm-hmm. are showing them or telling them what they need to do versus the opportunity to kind of learn on your own versus being shown what to do and then yeah. followed up upon. That's it's different leadership styles, but I think they're being shown and told what to do by Duvall and this staff.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, there's a lot of accountability that's expected of this team. They definitely, I mean, even with Shenander, when it comes to practices and then eventually games, he wants those players to be held accountable and to take ownership over their play and the decisions that they make. But they also understand you can't just tell a kid to be accountable without showing them how. You know, you want to show them the right way and then allow them to be accountable. It's sort of teaching them how to crawl before they walk, then teaching them how to walk before they run. Mm-hmm. So that way, when they are running full speed, they've got all these tools that they already know and they can fall back on. I think that's really what it is. is that they're just really investing in giving each of these players the time and attention that they really need. And not saying staffs before didn't, but I think the one thing that we know that's very different between the way Riley sort of approached it was, like you were saying, it was very much, you guys are accountable and we're going to let you out, you know, let you guys go and be the leaders and really take ownership over your position groups. And I think what was missing in that case is sort of those steps before you set them free. And so it's understanding that, yes, they are young men who can, you know, be challenged, can take, you know, tackle these things on their own, but they're still at the same time young people who need that leadership and that guidance before you sort of set them, you know, you got to set them up for success before you set them free. And so I think that's the big difference. And that's something like for Mick, like I was saying, he had every season, and I, for the yearbook last year, I talked with him about this. He approached his body as a, I got to put on all this weight because I know I'm going to lose it during the season. And it was a very unhealthy sort of relationship with food and nutrition and the weight gain and everything he was doing. So now they're like, how do we make it livable so that you're healthy from right now all the way through November and you're not yo-yoing with your weight? Mm-hmm. So those are those things where you're just seeing them, show them more healthier lifestyles, teaching them sort of those pieces, and then letting them go to, you know, implement it themselves.
Aaron, you know, you mentioned guiding those young guys and just developing trust overall. How, in just your experience, have you seen kind of the vets taking the young kids under their wings and just building up that camaraderie? And would you say that maybe this year in particular, because of the coaching transition, that there's a closer bond between the old guys and young guys just because of that change?
I would say so. I think, you know, one of the best examples from yesterday's road race was Adrian Martinez. He had just this constant line of people coming to get pictures and autographs, and he had right over his shoulder, he had JD Spielman, Divine Azigbo, and Divine was really clear that he was like, I kind of made a joke, like, you know, you're watching over him, and he's like, I got to keep an eye on him. I got to make sure, you know, he, you know, stays humble and knows what he's doing. And he was very much there as, like, you could tell, like a big brother, like, I'm going to be here to support him. And then you had JD, who was kind of humbling him, if you will, by going like, he's never played a snap in college football, like, and giving him a hard time. And but you could tell that it meant a lot for them. And you see this with the defensive line, with the older players always doing interviews with the younger players. And you saw it again. Yeah, they were sort of in their position groups or by, you know, class at some point, but at others, they were all really, like, intermixing with one another, you know, keeping an eye on each other, you know, checking in with each other. And I do think that there's ownership over that idea of, we've been through a lot. For some of these guys, like Gerald Foster and Mick Sullenberg, they've been through coaching changes already once in their career. So it's like they have so much guidance and so much that they can offer to these younger players through this that I think you're seeing that sort of happen as a result.
Aaron Sorensen's with us. A couple more minutes. HaleVarsity.com and magazine. She was at the Nebraska football road race. Really good story with Mick Stoltenberg. Aaron, you also caught up with Jebbia, and he was really, really hands-on with this event, wasn't he?
He was. So Bo Cottrell is the president of the road race this year, but they were really looking for somebody that could step up for the younger classes and be a leader now and then would sort of step into that president role once Bo graduates. And so that was Jebbia, and he just, I mean, no matter where you were on Sunday, he was at the finish line checking on things. He was over checking on players who were, you know, the ones getting ready to hand out the bananas and the oranges at the end of the event and the water, and he was just very hands-on. So it was sort of funny because I was watching as, like, Adrian Martinez had all these people coming up to him to get pictures and autographs. I kept thinking, like, well, where's Jebbia? I'm curious what his line. You couldn't catch Jebbia because he was all over the place the entire time. And if somebody did stop him, he would stop to, you know, take a photo or autograph something. But he was just Mr. all over the place, and he was doing it because you could just tell how much this event means to him. And I just love what he said. He's like, you know, He thinks it's so cool that the proceeds now go straight to UNMC, to the Buffett Cancer Center, to do research for pediatric brain cancer research. And I love how he's like, can you imagine if we could find a cure here? Like, Nebraska is already so great, but how great would it be if we could find the cure here? And you can just tell how much this means to him. And I'm glad that this is something he's really invested in, because it's a really cool event.
Aaron, before we let you go, about 90 seconds, the Honda fan poll question. If Nebraska could only beat one of these teams, who would you pick? Iowa, Michigan, Ohio State, Wisconsin. Coach McBride said Michigan. Jacob said, who did he say?
He didn't give a specific person. Remember, he kind of just
okay.
lost.
Well, Danny wants Ohio State. I say Wisconsin.
I picked Ohio State when I voted. And the only reason why is because I feel like if you got a win over Ohio State, like, that just sort of like sets a tone that. Mm-hmm. You could make a case for any of those.
Sure.
I feel like I would go personally between Ohio State and Wisconsin. I picked Ohio State, but I think Wisconsin's always had Nebraska's number a little bit, so I can understand picking them as well. I just would love to see the look on Urban Meyer's face if Scott Frost beat him year one. I feel like that would just be such a satisfying, like. So many memes could have come out of that.
Exactly.
So I took it for that reason.
with you.
That'll work. Again, there's no wrong answer. Log on, hailvarsity.com. The Honda fan poll is where you can put your vote in. Aaron, awesome stuff. Great job covering the road race. Thanks for a few minutes today.
You bet. And there's more to come, so keep checking this week.
Absolutely. Hailvarsity.com, at Aaron Sorensen on Twitter. Good stuff with her. Danny Cassino he'll finish his story of horrific fashion in Iowa City. That is next. A Duct Medic clean sweep. That on the way. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And we're back.
Fellas, think we could listen to the radio
on Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. A word about our friends at Rockbrook Camera. What do you think of Hail Varsity and the photography needs of Hail Varsity? All the amazing action shots and just full-color beauty you see. Hail Varsity puts their trust in Rockbrook Camera and Sony. And Sony's mirrorless imaging technology achieves new dimensions in photographic speed and performance in those cameras. And they're a fraction of the size and weight of traditional digital SLR cameras. So check out Rockbrook Camera today. Check out their selection of Sony today. RockbrookCamera.com. Three locations in the area for you. RockbrookCamera.com. Okay, back to the poll question. And if you could pick one, who do you want Nebraska to beat? Ohio State, Michigan, Wisconsin, Iowa. Danny, set this up. You're crashing with all your sick Delta buddies in Iowa City. Right, is this a fraternity place you're crashing at?
No, this
or your
actually
sister's
not.
Your sister went to Iowa or your brother went to Iowa?
My sister did, but the person's place we stayed at was my friend's brother, who actually we went to the same high school. Our siblings, my sister, his brother, same age, they went to Iowa too, but we were staying at his brother's place with some other people that we knew from back home as well.
A Hawkeye hit?
Yeah.
Okay. So you wake up 6 in the morning. Someone dropped the nuke.
Yeah, so I'll lay it out for you. So we had gotten up. We went up there for Halloween. We went out that night drinking a lot because we were catching up. And then whatever, we go back home. A couple of our buddies were really drunk, so one of them passed out. One of them's, thrown up in the bathroom, like KO'd in there. And so the person who passed out in the room with me was my roommate. So he was a random guy, but we ended up being good friends. We're still good friends to this day. So he passed out on the floor. I was in the bed because I knew the guy whose room we were in.
So you called dibs.
Yeah. So because I knew him and he wasn't going to let someone else random, just crash in his bed while he was off doing something else. So yeah, whatever. We wake up.
Someone's going to piss the bed. It's going to be my boy Dan.
Yeah, that's one way to look at it. So then I hear the door open. Like I mentioned, I'm giving you the clean version. Then I see it's him. His name's Joe. He's like, what's all that? What's this crap? I was like, what? Like, I just assumed he meant my buddy passed out on the floor. It's like, what? He's like, there's crap in here. I was like, oh, you know, maybe his shoes are all over the place. I was like, what do you mean? He's like, no, there's actual crap. And I was like, what? And I like spring out of bed and he's like pointing at it. There's a pile in the closet, like on random stuff. And then there's a chair in the corner and there's another pile on the chair. So we wake up and everyone's like, what? We get everyone up like, you know, who did this? What the heck? Like, everyone's just going crazy, like wondering what happened. And we're
check the washing machine.
No, we didn't check the washing machine. We're just like pointing fingers, blaming everyone. Well, first, we're just dying in absolute hysterics. We're all laughing, but the guy whose room it is absolutely pissed. And he blames my roommate because he doesn't know them, but he knows all of us. So he's like getting pissed, screaming at them. And I'm like, yo, I don't think it was him. Like, we didn't know who it was. He like throws a chair out in the yard, just gets rid of it, throws the other stuff away. And we're just cracking up about it. And no one admits to it, obviously. So we don't think it would be my roommate who was in the room with me because he was just knocked out on the floor. The guy in the bathroom, there's no way he wouldn't have just gone in the bathroom or like got up.
He's not moving.
Yeah, and I was fast asleep the whole night. I wasn't that bad. So we literally don't know who it was, how it happened. And it's one scary because I was passed out and someone went in there and just took a dump while I was asleep. So that's terrifying. And two, because no one admitted to it, we don't know who it was. Like some stranger could have just walked in, some like crazy dude, and just dropped a couple deuces.
What do you mean could have? They did.
I mean, yeah, exactly. But because, you know, it's one of those houses in college you have, you don't really have security on it. You don't lock your doors at night, especially coming home from the bar. So someone could have just strolled in and did it.
So that's what happened in Iowa City.
Yeah, it's the biggest mystery between us. Like, we don't know what happened to this day. And we point the finger at one of our buddies because the one passed out in the toilet because he's a goofball and just blame it on him. But I mean,
has he done stuff like this before?
Not necessarily, but he would be the guy to kind of do it. That's why we would think, yeah. But it's one of the most incredible experiences I've been a part of.
See, that sounds
good and the bad.
It sounds rough.
Yeah, I think it's a little more extreme than you're getting the beer poured on the shoes. Just a little
right,
bit,
but I was eight. I mean, I was in eighth grade.
Yeah,
so,
I'm still in disbelief. Your parents are like, "Hey, yeah, just go to a fraternity house, middle school. Just, you know, that's okay."
Well, no, we stayed with cousin Nate. We shot toilet paper off the top of the Sigma Chi house, across the street to the ATO house, and it was like the main fraternity row, like 16th year on Lincoln. And it was cold, so we would dip toilet paper in water, and then let it fly. And it was one of these like human slingshots.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was a three-man job, two people holding each end, and then you pull back, sit out, and then let it go, and got great distance.
Did you nail anyone? Any windows?
No, we didn't. No, the thing that was, we hit a couple cars, actually, because you had to travel from one side of the street to the other.
Right.
It was like a two-lane street. Mm-hmm. Once we hit like the second car, we kind of bailed back in.
Like, yeah,
and my cousin had the best. He had the best grades, so it was the room he was in was called heaven.
Like all the good kids in the house,
like the smartest 4-0 dudes got heaven. It was awesome.
So you hung out with the opposite crew?
No. I hung out with the smart kids.
Oh, okay.
And then hell was where the kids with the worst GPA were down there. But I went back the following year, and that was when Foreman fought Holyfield, and we watched down there. Mm-hmm. It was awesome. And we went back the following year, and we didn't go to the Nebraska-KU game. We went to the Colorado-Kansas game, and that was the year both those teams finished. Kansas was like top 10 good. I know that's weird to say. And Colorado was really good. Okay, that was the day that Nebraska lost to Iowa State in Ames. They got upset. It's like the worst team ever Coach Osborne ever lost to. But so we didn't mess around, but you had Holyfield and Foreman fight the Friday night before the Colorado KU game.
It was a solid weekend for you then.
It was great. Yeah. And then Colorado dirty to win out. That sucked. But no, I mean it was pretty good. But no, it was incredible. It's wonderful. And going down there in like 91 was a lot of fun because you got to see what college life was like. You know, you're in that little buffer zone between eighth and ninth grade, which, you know, college rocks. And then you're going to, then you see Nebraska and Calvin Jones run for six touchdowns. after trailing 17-0. Nebraska got ticked off, mauled Kansas, was 40 and sunny, and Lawrence is beautiful, especially when you take over their city and you kill their football team. Can't complain.
Yeah, good
my
deal.
My experience was way better than yours. Where
each their own. No, I mean, yeah, I'd take yours, but the story from mine, I'll tell everyone what, that.
No,
story
that's fine,
fantastic.
But like, you know, the perpetrator could have shaved your eyebrows.
Perpetrator.
they could have shaved your eyebrows. They could have crazy glued your head to the carpet.
That's what's scary. Yeah,
they could have drawn things on your forehead and permanent marker.
Yeah, but I woke up fine, so that's why I can laugh about it now.
Fair enough. We'll have a clean sweep. Dr. Medic will give you that. And tomorrow on the show, Dan Johnson, former Husker, now with the Salt Dogs, Mitch Sherman. Going to be good stuff. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Okay, got to get this off my chest. An email from my mother, Chris at HaleVarsity.com, on the 8th grade roadie to Lawrence. I didn't need to know it then, don't need to know it now. Hey, I didn't do anything really awful. We were just shooting frozen toilet paper at the ATO house. Uncle Andy'd be mad about that. And there was a little war between ATO and Sigma Chi. It may still be going on in Lawrence. I don't know. Danny told his story about Iowa City. This all goes back to the Hail Varsity and the Honda of Lincoln fan poll. If you could beat one team, who do you pick? Ohio State, Michigan, Iowa, Wisconsin. Pretty good. The Duck Medic clean sweep. A farewell to the Lincoln A's baseball team. Junior's team did get a win, but had a rough tournament in Council Bluffs. You haven't lived till you've been to Council Bluffs, Iowa.
That's right.
By 7 a.m. on a Saturday. Thanks to Colton and Kranak for doing the show. But a clean sweep as the Lincoln A's went 0-2 against the Quad City team from whatever the heck part of Illinois the Quad Cities are near. Hateful, awful, brutal people, parents, kids. Not the fact that my kids' team went 0-2 against them, but the parents are just straight-up dirtballs. Our parents got a little mouthy, too, raising both hands. But they're just classless. And then they had the fattest kid. They nicknamed him Sausage. And they're one of those kids and teams.
That's pretty awesome.
No, it's all right, but he's here's the thing. They're mouthy team, and then they get their kids on base, and they're doing this. I mean, just they're clapping, and I know, don't get on base. Don't let them on base. Stop them. I get it. But they're clapping the whole time, trying to distract the pitcher.
Oh, like while he's doing his windup, like continuous
clapping?
Yeah,
while he's on base. They're that team. Right?
Why? That's
because they're a-holes, all right?
Jeez.
So it was a clean sweep by them, is what I'm saying. A duck medic. And it was funny, though. Like, Sausage was clapping and thought he was just a tough dude. Well, and then he got slid into it third, and he's three times the size of the kid. Three times the size of the kid who slid in, and he was crying. Sausage was bawling because a kid half his size, a third of his weight, slid in and got his calf. And then the other parents were in an uproar, like losers.
Yep.
The other part of it, too, was
how it goes.
I know. They had some shortstop that threw like Lamar from Revenge of the Nerds. Looked that one up. And he was clapping on third base. Our catcher threw down. Junior missed it, I think intentionally. And it hit him right where his mom's tram stamp is. And the kid like fell like he'd been shot or he's a French soccer player. That was my clean sweep. The team I wanted to beat worse than Oklahoma when I was 11 swept my kids' team.
But that's the
beauty. But I'm not mad.
That's the beauty of Little League. You don't come. Well, you come for your kids, but yeah, you they stay gotta for go, the parents.
They gotta go. They gotta go back home to the Quad Cities.
Yeah,
we got the Leaf Council Bluffs. So there we go, Danny. Wonderful to see you again, sir.
Yeah, good to be back.
You're awesome, brother. Back tomorrow. Miss any part of the show, log on HaleVarsity.com or iTunes. Talk to you at 4. Thanks.